Welcome to Bible and Stuff, a podcast about the Bible and stuff. I'm Tanner, and you'll hear from my co-host Glenn in just a second as well. Usually we do this bit together, but this episode is actually a continuation of our last. It's kind of a part two, if you will. So if you haven't listened to that first episode yet, I want to encourage you to check it out. It lays a lot of the groundwork for how we think about the Ten Commandments and why we think they're important. And we may take some of those things for granted in the coming episodes. All that being said, in this episode, we start to take the Ten Commandments one by one, starting, of course, with the first.
All right.
All right now, ladies.
Let's dig into the first commandment. I appreciate you doing a little outcast as intro back in. All right. Well, anyway, first commandment. Yeah. So like I was saying before the break, I feel like all of that context that we talk about prior to leading up to this, really seeing how God has worked in the Israelites' lives, kind of puts an emphasis on this first commandment and the way that we intro it.
Well, yeah. So let's just go to Exodus 20 now. And you'll see that I followed the example of the Bible, and I did not start talking about the first commandment without first giving you a bit of a history lesson. Because verses 1 and 2 aren't the first commandment. They say, and God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. And so, just real quick, let me shove in a little bit more before we actually talk about the commandment. This is important for a couple of reasons. One, we actually see it says, and God spoke all of these words saying. So we're so used to the idea of Moses hearing from God and then Moses bringing this to the people. But when the people of Israel come to Mount Sinai, it says he descends onto the mountain and tells them these things. So God is verbally speaking to his people. And it's actually this like such a terrifying event that you see later in chapter 20 of Exodus. The people of Israel say to Moses, you can speak to us, but please, please don't let God do it anymore. Quote, lest we die. Like it's that like traumatizing for them to experience the holiness of God. And again, it's also giving you a history lesson, but the reason it's doing that is because it's telling them that they're not just pledging their allegiance to anyone. They're pledging their allegiance to the God that has delivered them out of Egypt.
There's weight to
that. This Savior. Yeah, and in doing so, in delivering them out of Egypt, he also really flexed his muscles and showed that he was better than any other so-called God. A lot of people point out how the 10 plagues that God used to convince Pharaoh to let his people go are actually all conquering, essentially, of these Egyptian gods. So the river, the Nile turning to blood, is this god that represents the Nile bleeding out, essentially. You know, they worshipped the sun god Ra, and God made it dark. And so he's just flexing his muscles on all these different gods that they have, that are represented by the different things that he does. So he is proclaiming victory over the enemy and over his people, right? So the people of Israel are almost like the spoils of war for God. In verse 3, now we're at the first commandment, when he says, you shall have no other gods before me, it's like war language. It's him saying, I have won you, and I am your leader now. I am in control here. This is our treaty. First of all, don't worship anyone else before me.
So now that we've actually finally said what the first commandment is, I have a follow-up question. I mean, we're talking about like God flexing his muscles. Is that the right term? I'm not as hip as you are, I guess.
We'll roll with it. I think that's what I said. Okay. So sure, it's the right term.
Where he's like showing up these other gods. So are there actually other gods? I mean, like we're talking about this, and I mean, I've always just thought like, they're these made up gods that, you know,
Yeah, yeah.
People have created and everything, so we keep saying gods, but what do we mean by it, is what I'm asking.
So, no, there aren't other gods.
Agreed, by the way.
And essentially, I think God is saying, I think I said so-called gods. I'm better than all your so-called gods. So there's a place in Isaiah where he says, I am the Lord and there is no other, right? Besides me, there is no God. And so by saying he's better than any other thing you could worship, he's essentially saying, I therefore am the only God.
Yeah.
And like I said, he says so much explicitly other places in the Bible. So no, but it's good that you point out, because we use that language of other gods. And I think even in what he's saying here, God is declaring himself the only one worthy of that title.
Now, when we're looking at this as Christians today, mm-hmm. I don't think we use the same kind of mindset. Like, we don't worship other, like, we don't worship a god of the sun or things like that, or at least in our culture, maybe elsewhere. So how does this actually apply to us, to you and me?
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, sure. Because we're not, you know, following the sun god Ra. Yeah, that's a good point.
Right.
Like, I think most Christians would look at the first commandment and be like, done, did it, got it. Like, you know, like, I'm not following Buddha or, you know, any of the Hindu gods or anything like that. And I think this is where it comes in, that like we worship all kinds of things that we make gods, right? And we'll talk about this some next week, but when we talk about idols, but all the time we elevate other things to this godlike status in our life. And often if you're a Christian, you try to do both, right? You try to say, I worship God, and I can still hoard this thing over here on the side. Sometimes it is a thing, like a job or a person, or it could literally be an object. Like, you know, everybody knows the guy that like waxes his car every Tuesday and, you know, kind of has like a worshipful experience with that thing in a really weird way. But it could also be like this idea of like who we are and this image or status that we want. And so we always try to split our worship. And so that's why he's saying, don't worship anything before me. Don't worship anything other than me, because he knows that we're going to try to make it work anyway.
I think a good way to check yourself on this, or at least I remember somebody saying this to me, was like, hey, like, how often do you read your Bible? And like, there have been times in my life where it's been like, yeah, not as often as I probably should. And it's like, well, why not? Well, I don't have the time. Like, I got this going on and this going on. And they're like, what did you just say? Like, I don't have the time. And I think time is a very valuable thing that is just an easy, simple way to show us like, okay, what we put our time towards as opposed to what we're taking the time to spend with God is a clear sign that we are worshiping other things before
for
him.
For sure. I mean, and there's another, if you do want to do the diagnostics on yourself, there's another one in the Bible where it says where your money is, there your heart will be also. So just look at your bank account. Like, what are you spending money on?
Yeah.
Probably going to show you what you're worshiping, whether that be a particular lifestyle or person or idea or whatever. But ultimately, Jesus comes along and says, in the New Testament, no one can serve two masters, but he gives a reason why you can't do it, because you're either going to hate one and love the other. So you're either going to be holding on to this idol that you hate because you really truly love God. Why would you do that? Or more likely, you love this thing and you start to build up bitterness towards God because he's telling you to let go of it. And so like the whole point is like, you can't serve two masters, because you're always going to have to choose at some point. They're not going to work together. God is not going to play second fiddle to whatever other thing you're trying to devote your life to. It's, you know, all in or not at all.
No, I love it. I think that's a really clear way of explaining it. So if we are looking at this first commandment, you mentioned earlier how Jesus gave like one great commandment that kind of sums everything up. And I think we've even alluded to it before, but if we're truly keeping this first commandment, it's really going to follow suit with everything else.
We would be keeping all of them, right?
Because God being first eliminates or should eliminate those desires toward any of the other impulses that we may have.
Well, I mean, you know, with Jesus saying, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So if we're really loving and pursuing God, we would keep his commandments, but also we wouldn't even want to do those things because they're not godly things. They're not Christ-like things. So I think that's an awesome point, is probably the reason why he starts with this one, right? Like, this is one of the big ones. And, you know, if you go back to those two that he says, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then love your neighbor as yourself. If you're doing the first, you're doing the second. And same is true for the Ten Commandments. If you're nailing that first one, the other nine are pretty much don't have to worry about. And I think it's because if you are really seeking God, it becomes impossible, right? So the Bible talks about this idea of being conformed to the image of God. And then some people, or, you know, another place it says, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so you can't be conformed to two images, right? Like, you can't be drawing a portrait of two people, because it'll end up looking like neither of them. Mm. And so if you are trying to shape yourself into, two people in one person, you get the idea. It probably sounded better before I decided I needed to explain it. I like mic dropped and I was like, hold on, let me pick it back up and just clarify. So that's the same for us. Like, we can't be like crafting this sculpture of ourselves to look like Christ, but also like want to include some other things, because then we end up not looking like Christ. We're no longer being conformed to his image. And so this is why we see all over the Bible these intense calls to rid ourselves of the sin in our lives. Like, John Owen has this great quote that says, be killing sin or it will be killing you. It's this really strong insistence on pursuing holiness. It's this really strong persistence on chasing Christ, because if we're looking at anything else, we're not going to end up looking like him. So I don't know if you've noticed, but the whole time we've been doing this podcast, we've been on the boardwalk.
It's amazing. It's really hot out today, actually.
I know, but the breeze comes in every now and then. It really makes you feel good, you know, coming off the ocean behind us. You can even hear people laughing and having a good time down at the carnival a little ways down.
Yeah, and between the funnel cake smells and the smell of suntan lotion, I'm overwhelmed. But yeah, we're busking it up at the beach today. It's great. We got our table set up. We're doing our podcast here. And it's amazing. Even just people watching is really fun for me in this moment.
Yeah, it's a really interesting practice that we've taken up here, busking, but it helps us keep the lights on. And so for you guys who aren't here in real time, we need to set up a solution for you too, and that's a virtual tip jar. So while you may not be this guy rollerblading by with his boombox, or this nice couple here just walking their dog, you can still help us out. And that's the way to do it. If you want to support us and you want to help us keep this thing going, consider giving through that link.
And hey, who knows where you'll see us next week. Now, this I guess brings up another point that I am curious about, is if we are trying to abide by these commandments, specifically the first one, which kind of leads way to the rest of them, we are living godly lives, we're conforming to his image, but that doesn't always happen.
Yeah.
Like, we are human, we screw up. So how does this still apply in relation to who Jesus is?
Yeah.
Does that make sense, what I'm trying to say? Like, Jesus comes along and makes things better for us through a new covenant.
Yeah.
How do these two go hand in hand?
Sure.
For us now.
Yeah, well, so Jesus makes his relation to the law actually really clear. And I think often we want to say, like, well, that was Old Testament and this is New Testament. We're under the new covenant now. And, like, those rules don't really apply. And a lot of those rules, we should do an episode on this at one point. I was talking about like ceremonial rules and moral rules and all these different things. Like things fall into different categories, okay? So like, yes, you can eat shrimp, but like, no, you shouldn't kill people.
I actually, not to interject too much, but I think it was Matt Chandler who had said this recently, where the Bible is written for us, but not to us.
Yeah.
So like those commandments and things like that, while not all of them may apply in the same way that they did back then, we can still learn from it. There's still things that we are getting
sure.
out of that.
Yeah, yeah. So even the ones that we would say like don't apply to us, as like shrimp or like a boiling goat in its mother's milk. Anyway, all this weird stuff. There's definitely stuff to be learned there. But there are definitely some that still apply to us. And as I was getting to, Jesus says that don't think I've come to get rid of the law or the prophets. I didn't come to abolish them. I came to fulfill them. And he says, not an iota or a dot will pass away from the law until it's all accomplished. Right? So he said, I didn't come to get rid of this stuff. I came to fulfill it. And so, yes, it clearly still applies because Jesus is saying, you may think I'm wiping this away. I'm not. I'm doing something better than that. I am coming to fulfill it. And so this has been long. Let's look at this last little bit here. How does Jesus and this first commandment work together, right? And Jesus is all over this thing. I mean, first of all, let's remember God is speaking these words to the Israelites. So they are having this real experience with the living God. And so anytime I hear words speaking God's voice, you immediately should be thinking about Jesus, who is the Word of God. If you look at John 1, you're going to get this laid out for you. Jesus is the incarnate Word of God. So he is the Word of God, flesh and bone. And so we see already how he is tied deeply into what's going on here at Mount Sinai. Second, if you look at our history lesson, Jesus is this better picture of Moses. Moses was the guy that God used to deliver his people from Egypt, but God himself in Christ delivers us from slavery, not just from a country, but from sin and death and darkness. And he's not just the person who is used, he also is the way that we are saved because he now gives us a way to love God. He becomes the intermediary for us between sinful people and a holy God, and he bridges that gap. So the first commandment commands our devotion, and Jesus actually allows it to happen. He actually facilitates it.
Well, that was a lot. But I do think you're right. Having the history of it all, tying it into the first commandment, well, all of the commandments really, gives us kind of a backbone and understanding to go off of and see the importance of what God has done for his people and why we have these boundaries. And like we said, each week we're going to be looking through each of the 10 commandments or the 10 words as we've kind of laid out today. But today we got the chance to look at the first commandment, having no other gods before God. So yeah, I feel encouraged more so than I ever have talking about the law before and having kind of a little bit better of a perspective. Yeah. I mean, going forward, what do you think, what is best for us to take away from this?
I think it should be really encouraging you to inspect those places in your life where you're still holding something back, but it should also, instead of putting you in a place of shame because of those things, push you towards Christ. Because he's saying, I'm not letting you off the hook. I'm still going to hold you to this. But he also gives us the way out through him. He's already paid for our sin. He's already taken care of that. And he is the way to righteousness. He is the way for us to actually be able to fulfill this commandment and all the others. So we can't be lazy about our sin, but it also shouldn't just drive us to this place where we just feel bad about ourselves and aren't pushed deeper into our relationship with Christ.
I like it. Well, next week we will be covering the second commandment, which to a lot of us seem like it's just a follow-up to the first commandment, but it actually does have some differences to it. So we're gonna talk through that next week. We are excited that you guys are listening in. We hope that you enjoy this series. We want to hear your feedback. Tanner, how can they give us that feedback?
Sure. As always, you can find us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Leave a comment, a DM, whatever you want to do. Or you can reach out to us directly by emailing us at hello@bibleandstuff.com. We would love to hear from you.
Peace.
The Bible and Stuff podcast is a production of Bible and Stuff. We do more than just podcasts, so if you want to know more about something we've covered on the show, just visit our website at bibleandstuff.com. Our show is hosted by Tanner Britt and Glenn Brand, and our theme music is by The Sing Team. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.